All right, hour number two is upon us. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes, and yes, again, our hearts and thoughts and prayers go out to those folks affected by the tragedy that was last night, and just lots and lots of things still going around on that. As I said, we will talk more about that. Actually, Patrick Neville's going to join us at 4:30. He was actually at Columbine back in the day, so he's got some history with this. Plus, we'll talk some legislative things with him as well, and then we'll get more into that in the 5 o'clock hour as well. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes, Denise Schick joining us now. We're going to talk about transgenderism to a large extent. We talked a little bit about it in the first hour, Denise, but Denise Schick joining us now. Thanks, and welcome to Rush to Reason.
Hi, thank you so much. It's good to be here.
Well, I appreciate it. And real quick, Denise, so everybody listening can kind of get an idea of where you're coming from. Give us a real, you know, just kind of a quick synopsis of your background and why you've got, you know, not only an opinion, but some expertise on this.
Sure. Real quick, I was a little girl at the age of 9 that had learned of her dad's desire to become a woman. And so my journey has been walking that out from a very young age and yet experiencing many things that children really shouldn't experience,
right,
through the confusion of their parent. And so for 18 years now, Help for Families was founded to come alongside of family members, to support them, to come alongside and pray with them and offer them a helping hand with people that understand the journey that they're going through.
All right, so we start now talking about, you know, the Equality Act and just things that are going on across the country where we see more and more, especially, you know, men that want to be women, you know, boys that want to be girls, you know, they start the process, they now start competing in sports, they start using girls' bathrooms and things along those lines. To me, Denise, I guess I'm old-fashioned and old-school, but I look at this as a pretty easy, you know, explained situation, and those folks should not be allowed to do any of those things, and yet we've got, you know, governmental, federal agencies even that are pushing for this.
Yeah, yeah, and you're correct. It is unfair. It's unfair for biological girls to be competing with a biological male whose muscle tone, their whole physiological body makeup is so different.
And by the way, if I'm wrong, or, you know, correct me, but always will be. I mean, I really don't know, and I'm not an expert in this area, Denise, don't claim to be, but I don't care how much, you know, hormone therapy you have over the course of years. You know, God designed you in a particular manner, and that muscle structure, bone structure, and so on will most likely be with you the rest of your life, whether you're male or female. Am I right?
Correct. So that is a huge disadvantage to the young girls. But I think about the athletics, you know, where these girls have worked so hard and dedicated their time to whatever gifting that is, whether it's basketball or track or whatever, in hopes of a college scholarship.
Yeah, and I want to remind everybody that there are some of these individuals, and Denise, we've read about some of these girls where, to your point, they have worked literally from, you know, probably starting out at a very young age in a particular sport, whether that be, you know, track or volleyball or, you know, and go down the list, you know, softball, on down the line we go, basketball. And they work really hard. They're working for that scholarship. In some cases, maybe even coming from families where that may be one of the only ways they get into some of the, you know, higher end colleges that they so desire to go to on scholarship. And then all of a sudden, a guy turned girl comes along, and you know, whether that's in their school or just in the district that they're playing in, could basically, you know, shun all of those dreams. Am I right?
You are right. And that's why it's such a huge disadvantage. You know, I often think about women that were in favor of the transgender movement. Well, basically what it's doing is it's taking women's rights and taking us right back down to ground zero.
Yeah, Denise, wouldn't it be safe to say, I'm sure there are other reasons why we have women's sports or girls' sports, but wouldn't it be safe to say the number one reason was simply to screen out the physical advantages of biological men? I mean, isn't that the main reason we have, men are born bigger, stronger, faster. I know you guys were just saying that, but isn't that the number one reason that we even have women's sports?
Correct. It is. Right, our bodies physically are completely different than that of a male component. You know, I remember my dad as a young, well, teenage girl, and he would chase me around the yard. And I can tell you, even at the age of 13, he could outrun me.
Yeah, there are certain sports, I believe, and you guys are talking about this, where there's a bigger effect than others. But let's get off of even the sports issue. Let's say that your daughter doesn't play sports. You know, she's, you know, maybe very inclined academically. But now still has to handle going to the, you know, locker room, bathroom, PE, whatever you have to do, and all of a sudden has to deal with a, you know, I would consider it a boy being there.
Yeah. And to think of the shame or the embarrassment, you know, for the girls. Again, our bodies are different. They're biologically made up differently. And so for girls to even be expected to share a shower with a biological male, is humiliating.
Well, and let's go one step further, which we've never, I don't know if I've ever talked about this on the program yet, Denise, but let's face it, the way that this is working, and again, if I'm wrong, someone needs to correct me, but to my knowledge, the way this works right now is if you've got a, you know, 15-year-old boy that all of a sudden decides, I want to be a girl, all he has to do is state, I want to be a girl, and start going through some of this process. He doesn't have to biologically, you know, he doesn't have to go through the surgeries to make him, you know, look biologically like a female, or even start hormone therapy for that matter. All he really has to do to enter into a girl's bathroom is say, I'm now a girl. Am I right?
You are right. You are right.
I mean, that is just messed up. I'm sorry. That's messed up.
Yeah.
Hey, Denise.
Yeah. For a boy, a man to say in a women's dressing room, you know, well, I'm a woman, and to be able to gain access, you know, the same to that accessibility.
You know, Denise, those who say, gee, I was born this way, I was born, you know, a man in a woman's body or vice versa, they'll say that it's always been this way. This is natural. This is, you know, the percentages are probably the same as they've always been. But would you say that we've seen a real uptick in this kind of behavior amongst young people?
We have, and I think that we're seeing that because of the environment, the acceptance, the promotion of the transgender movement or the transgender craze of this, and the acceptance even within parents. You know, so when you've got kindergarten, first grade students that are coming in and the parents particularly are really wanting a transgender child, which some of us can look at that and say, well, who would want that? But we might be surprised at some of the underlying issues going on within the home. But there has been a rise in this. We also have to look at what's going on in the school system with peers, you know, the peer
right.
pressure with kids so young.
Yes.
At children in kindergarten, first and second, third grade, they shouldn't be thinking about what sex they are or who they're going to be attracted to or any of that. But yet this is where the pressure is on them and sometimes coming from older siblings or reflecting what they're hearing and seeing with their older siblings.
Denise, let me ask a broader question then. Do we even need sex education in schools?
Well, I think we still should have sex education in schools, but maybe with some better boundaries than what's up. I mean, right now when you look at sex education as it is and trying to encourage or talk about binary and the fact that a boy can change to be a girl to young school age, you know, maybe it's not such a great idea today.
Yeah, and one thing I was going to ask you, too, real quick, along some of those lines, and I know we're getting tight on time, but one thing I want you and Andy to chime in is I almost feel like, Denise, and, you know, we were all young once. I was young once. Yeah, I know Andy and I are old now, but, you know, we were young once. And I do know that while I wasn't so much this kid because I was, I guess, a little weird, I didn't really go with all of the trends, quote-unquote, that were out there because it just wasn't who I was. In fact, I was probably one of those that probably bucked some of the trends. But we all know that kids are trendy. And if the trend in a particular area, city, school, state, whatever, is to do what we're now talking about, does that not even encourage more of this bad, I call this bad behavior?
Yes, it does. Everything that we see going on in our world today is encouraging this type of behavior or mindset with our young people. And you know what really astonishes me is that while everybody is encouraging or accepting and welcoming of this, nobody is honestly taking a really deep look at what's going to happen when these children grow up, what has been stolen from them, and what kind of psychological of an impact will this be? Anxiety, depression, what happens when they regret, when they find out what they had done and that it didn't bring them the satisfaction that they thought that it would, or it didn't, the fame is gone, the attention
is
gone.
Yeah, well, and we've interviewed individuals in the past, Denise, where they've actually, you know, much like you, were raised in a home where, you know, they were encouraged, you know, one way or the other, or saw certain things. And Walt is a particular individual that we interview quite often, and he was a man that was raised by, you know, a lot of females and thought at one point he should be one. So he went through the whole process of becoming a female and did the surgeries and the whole nine yards and found himself just being absolutely miserable being that way. Finally realized that was a big mistake. He went back the other direction. He's now a man, and he loves the Lord. He's a great guy. He realized some of the things he did were incorrect in a lot of ways, and I think he'll even tell you they were a sin because they just weren't correct in what he knew the Lord wanted for him in his life. But yet at the end of the day, he now goes around trying to teach others, much like you are, that in a lot of cases, these are kids that really need some real solid psychological mental help if they're even thinking about going this direction. They don't need encouraged. They need to be sat down and say, wait a minute, time out. This is not normal thought behavior. We need to have a discussion.
Exactly. Yeah. Good mentors, you know, parents to be involved in their lives. Otherwise, if they go to school and they talk about gender confusion, not knowing who they are, you could be more out to bet that the school is going to tell them they're transgender. And that's what I have spoke about so many times, because in the environment that I grew up in, I became really confused. And I thought, you know, gosh, if God did make a mistake and my dad was supposed to be a woman, how do you know you're not supposed to be a boy, Denise? I'm really starting to play that out in a fantasy way. So, you know, if I went to elementary school today and went to my counselor with this, they would tell me that I was transgender. When really these kids just need to know that they are valued, you know, that they have a value on who they are, to find out the positives about their personality, about what they're good at, if it's math, if it's acting, if it's music. So they're looking to fill empty places. And obviously this is, unfortunately, with the transgender or, you know, gays, that it's pretty easy to become part of their family. And that's where we've lacked the ability as far as churches, church people, you know, that would be me. To be able to put my hand out and to be a friend and to be able to be a mentor and invest into that person's life or that child's life.
Hey, Denise, I'm a Christian who was raised an atheist, so I've seen both sides of this. But either way, I would have always thought that people are either created or evolved to have minds that work together with their bodies. And so how would people come to believe that the parts that they have are the wrong parts, that they are actually trapped in something wrong? How would they even come to that point?
Well, for some, so let's just take a young boy that is not real masculine, you know, doesn't like football, doesn't like the regular sports that boys do.
He's a Jacob, not an Esau, basically, right?
Exactly. He's more musical inclined. You know, and so he already feels different when he's being compared either by parents or peers. You know, oh, he's different. Oh, he doesn't like to do that. And so inwardly, he starts to feel different and believe that he's different. And so it starts very young. You know, the same thing with girls when there's a disconnect with the female world, whether it's a disconnect from mom or just being comfortable. Maybe they're a little bit too, a little bit more close with dad, and they become more attached to dad and dad's world. So there has to be a work of both genders in that child's life in a healthy environment.
Okay, so what you're saying is not that they don't inwardly match the parts that they have, but they come to believe that they don't inwardly match the cultural expectations of the parts
exactly.
that they have. And
yeah.
so it's basically our culture messing them up.
Yeah, yeah, well said.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is. Or, you know, if we look at this on a spiritual view of it, we could say, you know, just as the snake had come to Eve and said, surely did God say, you know.
Right.
And so if you start to question who you are as a male or a female, how you feel, you know, surely did God say that? You know, you can change that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
start to believe. Yeah. And that's where you get into much more personal vows and hurts that have come into the person's life.
All right, Denise, how do folks find you and your website?
They can come to www.help4families.com or .org.
Perfect. Denise, help thank you very much for joining us. I appreciate it very much. Have a great evening.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. All right, Ascent Health Center is up next. Speaking of health, by the way, Dr. Julie can help when it comes to just your mental health, your physical health, your stamina, whether you're tired, all those different things. She's there for you and is willing to help. It's Dr. Julie, Ascent Health Center. Find her at ascenthealthcenter.com or 303-343-8800.
Dr. Julie provides both the scientific methodology and the empathetic accountability you need to lose weight. You've lost the weight in the past, but as soon as you started slipping back into your old habits, you felt like a failure. Now you've gained all of that weight back, plus some more, and starting over seems pointless. Both John Rush and Dr. Julie understand the daily struggle of staying healthy. The HCG diet at Ascent Health Center trains your body to convert unnecessary fat into energy. But you also need the mental and emotional fortitude to help you stick with it long term. Something as simple as a daily text message from a qualified weight loss guide could make all the difference between another yo-yo diet and a true lifestyle change. Remember how much better you felt without the extra weight. Call Ascent Health Center now and mention Rush to Reason for 30% off your HCG diet plan. 303-343-8800.
All right, Franktown Firearms, we did find Andy and I 3 days. Is that what I said? 3 days wait
yep.
now? So I said earlier we would call to find out. It is now up to 3 days wait buying a firearm. It changed that quickly, folks, literally within 24 hours.
Yeah, it was just a few hours before.
That's right. It was 20 minutes.
It got that low?
Yes.
And now it's 3 days.
Now it's 3 days. So if you're wanting to buy a gun, I would suggest you get on this and get on it quickly. Again, find Franktown Firearms on the website, klzradio.com, or 720-770-7777.
At Franktown Firearms, you can always get better. It's a very conservative notion that no matter how good you are right now, life is all about improving yourself. That's exactly how the team at Franktown Firearms is looking at training, which is why they offer a greater diversity of platforms than most shooting ranges, including static, moving and shooting, and target acquisition engagement, so you can always get better. It's a great feeling to see your skills improving, and at Franktown Firearms, you have literally unlimited potential. Sign up for one-on-one instruction on the range or register for a group class catered to your level of ability. For Rush to Reason listeners only, sign up for a range membership now by filling out the contact form at klzradio.com/franktown and receive $50 off your initiation fee, plus your first month free. Range members receive a discount in the shop as well as a discount on all classes. Franktown Firearms, confidence through practice.
Your company is bleeding time and money, and John Rush will find those leaks. You're too stuck in day-to-day weeds to step back and see the big picture. You need a qualified, experienced business coach to take stock of your expenses and see where you and your employees are wasting time and money. John firmly believes that every business owner needs a coach because you're too close to the situation to be objective. Email John now and make more money. John@rushtoreason.com.
It was more than remarkable that 13 colonies hanging on the eastern seaboard of the North American continent would have the courage to declare our independence from the British Crown. Kim Munson here. Wednesday, patriotic historian and former Army Ranger Ben Martin continues our monthly series on the Revolutionary War. Thank you to the Harris family for sponsoring this series. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group updates us on the mortgage market. Priscilla Ron explains why she should be the next Colorado GOP vice chair. That's Wednesday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again 10 to 11 p.m., right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
Keep freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion alive by contributing to support The Kim Munson Show at KimMunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And Patrick Neville will be joining us here in a little bit here, so we'll... get through a couple of things here real quick before we do that. I know he's going to join us at 4:30, but he had kid duty and a few things he wanted to get out of the way, so we'll give him a few minutes here before we give him a call. Let's talk about remote workers real quick, though. Something we want to talk about, and probably we'll even come back and maybe even dedicate a couple of segments to, because I think it's a big deal, by the way.
John, this is going to be huge because you've got so many people who have gotten used to working remotely, and they're basically telling their workplaces, I don't want to come back.
I know.
I can produce out here. And some of them, by the way, are right, but... should a workplace buckle to that? I don't think so.
Oh, man. This is a – by the way, that's why we need to come back to this and talk about it probably in depth and really, you know, even get some listeners involved in this. I like you, and we've been in agreement on this since day one. I am confident, and I think that's already starting to approach, that businesses will find – despite what a lot of the special guests that we have on and join us that think remote working is just fabulous, I think businesses, as time goes by, are going to figure out that, yes, in some cases, it's fabulous. Their workers do exactly what they're supposed to do. Everything is great. Productivity is up. They don't have to have an office in the office, so they can lower their real estate down a little bit. I get that, okay? There are some exceptions to what I'm saying. But I will say, by and large, the average remote worker is not as efficient as they would be if they were in the office. And by the way, I don't care what LinkedIn or whatever other studies out there saying otherwise. I just know people.
Yes.
And I know that if there's distractions in their home, kids, pets, TVs, you name it, by and large, they're not going to be as productive as they would be in the office.
Can I throw in a theological term?
Go right ahead.
Sin.
Yeah.
Look, if you take away the oversight, people are going to tend to work less. And by the way,
what's that old saying? If the cat's away, the mice play?
Yeah. That old saying came along and stayed because it's true. Right. And by the way, let me ask you this really quick. You're a manager. If this isn't true, then why do we need managers?
You wouldn't, Andy. If everybody were able to just do what they're supposed to do on a daily basis, you wouldn't need any supervision over what they're doing ever because they would just get it done, right? They just go out, do their thing, and be done, and off they go, right?
Right. So if we don't need, if remote work is all that it's cracked out to be, then fire all the managers. Not all, but you know what? I'm using an exaggerated statement.
Yes, I understand what you're saying, and I'm with you. I think as time goes by, this is going to come to a head.
Agreed.
That's my thought process. So let's start talking to Patrick. I got to take a break here in just a minute, but let's get at least the process started here. Patrick, welcome. How are you, sir?
Hey, good. How about you guys?
We're doing well. So before we start talking legislatively, I thought I'd just give you a couple of minutes here even to share your thoughts on what happened last night. You, for everybody listening, Patrick was involved in the Columbine shooting that happened years and years ago. And so you, Patrick, of all, especially Andy and I, have far more knowledge and your feelings as to what happened up at the King Supers in Boulder last night than any of us ever would have.
Yeah, it's certainly a incredibly tragic thing. It's, you know, really not something you put words to. It's every time something like this happens, there's a lot of memories that come back up and a lot of reliving certain situations. And I think that goes for everyone who's been through something like this. I called John Castillo this morning and made sure him and Maria were doing okay. And he kind of said the same thing. And it's just tough. It's, you know, the thing I let folks know, I think the thing that's kind of going in the positive direction is let's not remember this killer or this lunatic's name. Let's remember Officer Eric Talley and you know, the heroism he did. And let's remember that. And that's kind of a good thing that I, you know, was talking with John. It's one positive direction we move forward is everyone knows Kendrick Castillo was an absolute hero and saved his classmate's life that day. And, it, you know, we don't remember the lunatic's names. We remember and honor Kendrick.
Hey, Patrick, what kind of recovery process lays before the families who have lost loved ones in something like this, something that is so senseless and out of the blue?
you know, I don't think it's something you really ever recover from, to be honest with you. It's, you know, it's just so quick, and there's a lot to deal with right up front, and there's a lot of kind of shock and numbness up front. And then as the attention goes away and people kind of move on with things, that's where I think a lot of the emotions really set in, and a lot of loneliness and emptiness really set in. And so that's why I made sure I wanted to call John, and I keep in touch with him, and just, you know, at least try to honor Kendrick as much as I can. And we need to do the same thing in this situation, honor the heroes in this situation, and
right,
just be with, remember the families. It's a huge sacrifice.
All right, so before we come back and talk to you on the legislative side of the fence, I want to get your your two cents on a lot of folks that are out there. Patrick, there's all sorts of things on, you know, social media. I've read all sorts of things. There was even accusations, even from a lot of conservatives, of a particular gentleman that ended up not being the actual shooter. Then today we find out who the actual shooter is. And, you know, I guess me, I'm telling everybody, you know, I do this on air as much as I can. Be cautious. Wait till all the facts come out before you start really digging in and even pointing any fingers in any particular direction, which, by the way, the other side doesn't do. They look at every crisis and try to jump right on it. And let's get gun control rolling the very following morning without even talking about the victims and what happened last night. But I guess what I'm doing is asking you, as someone that's been through all of this, you know, for those of us that haven't, you know, what do we do? What do we say? How do we respond on social media and so on, you know, moving forward the next few days?
Well, I think the biggest thing is honor those victims, and especially those heroes. I mean, that officer ran into the line of fire and lost his life, and incredibly thankful for his service and his sacrifice. It probably could have been much worse had he not done that. And so honor those, and you're exactly right. Don't jump to conclusions. I mean, it makes me extremely irate that here we have our president without, you know, even giving it a day, within hours, he's announcing support for gun control as though that might have stopped the situation. And we don't know. We don't know all the facts. We had other people like Kay Anderson come out and basically make racist tweets and accuse this guy of being of a certain color, skin color that he wasn't. And so we don't know this. We don't know if Joe Biden pushing those bills would have stopped this in the first place. We don't have any idea. And yet they're seems to be like capitalizing on this strategy of pushing gun control every time there's a tragedy. And that's one of the things I get really frustrated with, and shared those same sentiments with John Castillo. We don't actually talk about how we can prepare folks to respond in a certain situation like this, and
right,
and give people the tools to actually fight back. It's just this one-sided solution that immediately gets pushed from the left without, you know, really any sort of grieving process or any sort of analysis of what happened.
Well, and I think also, and I appreciate everything you said. I think you're spot on. On top of that, I think that, you know, right now the left is trying to, how should I say this? They're trying to console the victims by now claiming gun control would fix all of that. And by the way, that's no consolation to the victims that just went through all of this. And I realize that some of them may have different thoughts and get on different bandwagons after the dust settles. But immediately, Patrick, I can't see how that's any type of a resolve right now.
No, it's not whatsoever, and it's them just trying to use tragedy to push their agenda, and it's pretty despicable. And again, we've had other different solutions that we could have moved forward and trying to actually help people in these situations. And you take a look at Colorado specifically too. We're one of the biggest gun control states. I think we're ranked like 16th, and here we passed all these laws. It didn't stop. It didn't solve it. And so let's take a realistic look at this and a realistic approach, and not just keep pushing the one-sided narrative.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk some more legislative things with Representative Patrick Neville. Don't go anywhere. Affordable Interest Mortgage is next. Kurt Rogers. And I say this all the time. I mean it. He does too. If you want a free mortgage review just to see where you're at and what he can help you with, give Kurt a call today, 720-895-0500.
Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loan to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Hey, it was snowing really hard here a minute ago. Andy and I were looking out, and all of a sudden now it's not in the sun shining, and that's kind of the way Colorado is.
That is.
Now, all of that being said, you may still find yourself in an accident. And by the way, we kind of highlight accidents when it's slick and you know, wet and icy outside, but the reality is accidents happen all of the time. They happen in parking lots. They happen just on the regular roads. People run into each other, back into each other, run into the back of you. You name it, things happen. Sometimes it's your fault. Sometimes it's not your fault. Regardless of whose fault it is, a good shop can help you and sort of get rid of and dispel some of the pain that's there in having the accident in the first place. So let them fix your car up and get you back to running working order and back to original equipment specifications also. Find a good shop at klzradio.com or call 720-541-7697.
You don't need to schedule an appointment or drive anywhere for a free estimate from a good shop. Other than the actual collision itself, scheduling an estimate might be the most stressful part of auto body work because you don't have time for it. You're already worried about how much the repairs will cost. You're worried about how long your vehicle will be out of commission, and you still need to figure out whether or not you should make an insurance claim because you're worried about your premiums going up. Al Sturm, owner of a good shop in North Glen and Commerce City, has always looked to the future, providing new, different, and better services than the corporate conglomerates. Click on the mobile estimate button at klzradio.com/collision and enter your phone number to start taking photos for your free virtual estimate from a good shop. Certified collision repair worth referring. Mention KLZ Radio in your estimate request for $100 off your repairs.
The Mike Gallagher Show.
He's your happy conservative warrior.
Many of us are convinced the Democrats have a fundamental desire to take away the right to keep and bear arms. And I'm willing to tackle this today in what I think is a pragmatic way. And we should. And I want to enlist your help.
Breaking news and what to make of it.
Don't miss the next Mike Gallagher Show.
Mike Gallagher, weekday mornings at 8 on KLZ 560.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, and Patrick Neville, Representative Patrick Neville, joining us now. All right, let's get down to some legislative things that are going on, and there is a lot that is trying to get pushed through right now. Patrick, where do you want to start?
Well, there's a lot that have already been pushed through, so I guess I'll go ahead and start there. They passed a bill through the House that's in the Senate now where, talking about gun control. As a matter of fact, they're going to require safe storage of firearms. And here's how ominous this bill is. It basically requires anyone, if your weapon is not within arm's reach and you have a child or anyone who's a convicted felon in your house, then you've got to lock this thing up. But they don't, and on top of that, you can't have access to the key or the combination, too. So if you have a keyed lock, I don't know where you even put the key. So this is one of those weird bills that I look at, and I've studied it. It was in my committee. I don't even know how I could comply with the law, so it's going to completely criminalize gun owners. I did a demonstration on the House floor with different locks that I have. I'm not against locks. I think they have a time and place. But the way they wrote this was the sole intent was to try to criminalize gun owners. And then shortly after that, they passed a bill. It's going to teach children media literacy in the schools, and sounded like a no-problem bill, but then the bill refers to a report that this committee came up with and basically adopts this committee report that, I kid you not, Nine News' Kyle Clark was on that committee and helped develop that report. So Nine News was on that committee as a broadcast journalist, even though he's more of a political commentator.
Right.
And the way he sees news will now be taught to our children in schools because it'll be part of the standards.
Yeah, and I saw him on Next One. I don't know how I happened to view that. I guess right place, right time. Patrick saw some segment of his where he was basically slamming all of the people out there that are against that particular law. Him basically, claiming, that it's got, white gloves and a halo above it, like it's the best thing since sliced bread. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, time out. If you're the one saying that, then I, for one, am going to question it, period. And I didn't even know all the details.
That's right. I mean, it looks really bad if you actually look at some of the curriculum they recommend. Some of it comes from the 1619 Project. Other curriculum talks about climate change and teaches students to evaluate internet memes using Wikipedia. So I guess Wikipedia is now a good source, according to this, which I've never heard of. I've always heard of, avoid Wikipedia. there's a valid source on the internet, but they're going to start teaching this stuff to the kids in our schools.
Yeah, I've got no words. What can I say? And did that pass? Is that a done deal?
It did pass. We got some amendments on it so the public can actually have input, because that was one of the big problems I had with this, was it was basically done at the dark of the night. This committee comes up with this report, and then we just full-on adopt it. So now there's at least a way for people to weigh in, but this was a committee that was appointed by a different appointed official, so I don't see a lot of movement in it, and it's on its way in the Senate, and I'm assuming it's probably going to pass the Senate. What we have going on right now in Colorado is, I think it's essentially Jared Polis was very strategic when he passed some of those oil and gas bills and some different bills, and they think the conservatives have moved out of Colorado, and now they can rush everything through, and there's not going to be any recourse from the voters. I really hope they're wrong, but they're pushing all sorts of stuff. We have another bill in committee now that's going to criminalize any gun owners if they don't report a stolen weapon. It's the only bill I've ever heard of where we actually criminalize a victim of a crime. So you have to report that stolen, and they're saying, oh, there's no registry. Well, that creates a gun registry right in itself, so that you have to tell the government under a penalty of a misdemeanor that you have a firearm. And that's in committee now. We'll probably hear that on the House floor sometime next week. There's some other really bad stuff in the Senate moving through that we're kind of keeping an eye on, even though it's not in the House yet. There's the awful transportation bill, which is, I mean, this is diabolical what they're doing here. So even though the voters have passed a referendum saying that you can't add any additional fees, they're trying to work around that so they don't have to go to the voters for it, because the voters keep rejecting additional taxes. And then on top of this, what they're actually talking about doing is pushing some of the CDOT accountability stuff that we've talked about into the bill. So here they've created a crisis with complete mismanagement of CDOT, wasting taxpayer dollars, and then they're going to try to use that crisis to push for a bill that's going to tax our citizens even more. And, of course, none of this needs to go to the voters in their mind.
Right.
So it'll probably pass through the Senate. They introduced a really horrendous, what they're calling the public option bill. This bill will basically create a state insurance program where the insurance commissioner himself can set all prices for medical reimbursement. And every provider is going to be required to accept this insurance. So, and I'm talking like down to massage therapists. This is how in-depth this bill gets. So the insurance, the commissioner of insurance of Colorado could set a price for a massage therapist and tell them they must accept this price. And what we're going to see is a bunch of good healthcare providers leaving this state. And I don't blame them, because once they start setting the price, then they're not going to be able to actually be profitable, because they're going to set such a low price. We see this with Medicare and Medicaid already, and they're going to leave the state. And on top of that, there's no way that the actual private insurance plans are going to be able to compete, because they don't have that ability. They actually have to go in and negotiate with those providers and say, okay, let's negotiate at a table, and there's an equal negotiation. If you accept our plans, here's the price we're going to accept. This is just surely the government saying, this is the price, so be it, whammo, you must accept it, or you will be a criminal.
Wait a minute, Patrick, you're saying that Colorado state government will do price fixing across the board on all treatments?
That's exactly right. That's what they're going to do. The commissioner of insurance can set the price. And they're saying, well, it'll be fair, but there's no checks and balances in it. It's just the commissioner of insurance setting the price. And here we are in the middle of, well, we're not in the middle. I think we're at the tail end of it, but a pandemic. Here, last year when they were proposing this bill, the funny thing was they said, well, we just have too much healthcare providers. There's too much. We've got this arms race of healthcare supply in the state, and we've got too much. We got to scale back, and then the pandemic hits, and then it's, oh, my goodness, thank goodness we actually do. We have built some new hospitals in the future, in the past years, and we've actually got some infrastructure to deal with it, and now they're basically going to pass a bill that's going to make it so that no one wants to build any new infrastructure or add any providers or any sort of systems that are going to add to the healthcare of Coloradans.
One other thing I wanted to ask you about too, Patrick, which I was reading on, again, because I'm an employer, I guess, the unemployment fund, which a year ago before COVID had, I want to say somewhere around $1 billion excess money sitting in its account. Now that we've gone through COVID and have done all these different things on unemployment and somehow let $500 million walk out the door, it's now in the hole and doesn't look like it's going to be positive again until like 2022 or 2023. What's the scuttlebutt around the Capitol on that?
Yeah, that's another one where here they're pushing this $700 million stimulus package is what they're calling it. And it's basically we underspent a little bit money last year's money. And instead of putting it towards things like actually boosting back up our rainy day fund or the UI fund, which would be a great way to spend it, they're not. They're giving it out to different pork projects they have. There's another $6 billion coming in from the feds. They want to give that to a bunch of different pork projects and not actually fund things that people we need in the state, roads, and then actually shoring up the UI fund. And the UI fund, the only reason it's in the position it's in is because the government created that situation. When the government shut down these businesses and forced people to actually not work, other than that, employers were doing the right thing.
Yeah, what did they expect, Patrick? I guess that's my question. And on top of that, I mean, you're correct. They caused it. And then on top of that, they've also caused it by the loads and loads and loads and loads and loads, and I could keep talking, of fraud that have gone on in the unemployment division to the tune of $500 million that's gone out of the account, unaccounted for. Basically, it's gone to people that should have never got the money in the first place, and they have no checks and balances for that. And I, as an employer, continually, even now, get fake unemployment claims from individuals, and I just keep shaking my head, and yet all they want from us as taxpayers is more money.
That's right. I mean, it's a huge. I mean, that's just it's basically criminal what's happening in CDLE right now. They've had no checks and balances, no controls. They can't find any of the money. I think $500 million is probably a low estimate. My office is getting completely flooded with people saying, "Please help! I've been trying to get a hold of these guys for 6+ months." To figure out this situation where I've got, there's literally people that own businesses that are getting claims turned in for themselves, and they're saying, whoa.
Yep.
I mean, I never had this.
Hey, you're speaking to one of those, Patrick.
Even
I know all about that. Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely. And Patrick, here's my beef with all of that. And I understand that we're not, the only state out there that's in encountering this. But what I have learned, and maybe you can correct me on this, but what I have learned is that information is not coming from any other breaches out in the internet world. In other words, they didn't, hack into my bank account. They didn't hack in someplace and find my Social Security. This information that they're using to file false unemployment claims has come from our very own state system. What's wrong with that picture?
You're exactly right. It didn't come from any other system. It came from our state government. They made it. They didn't have the proper security in check and in balance, and so people are filing. I would be interested to actually see. I would say probably a majority of the Colorado citizens at this point, I don't think that's a stretch at all, have had some sort of unemployment claim against them. And then the really sad part is that's going to make the fund even worse, and so their answer is going to be to raise unemployment insurance rates.
Right.
So now businesses, it's going to be even harder to actually hire an employee because – when you're a business owner, when you go to hire someone, you look at all those costs and what it's going to cost to hire them, just not the actual wage you pay the employee, and they're not going to want to hire these people back because they're not going to be able to afford to do it. So our problem is going to get even worse.
Let me throw another caveat into what you just said, Patrick. We've now got a border crisis down south with literally hundreds of thousands of people wanting to come across the border, and what you just said will actually encourage more of those individuals to have a job under the table because every employer knows they don't pay the same overhead on that individual that they do a regular legal employee. So we're just now going to exacerbate the problem that's coming over the border with what you just said.
That's absolutely right. And then you lay on top of that all the bills they're passing that are basically going to decriminalize all sorts of really heinous crimes and make it impossible for law enforcement to do their job. You're leading to a situation where it is. You're encouraging under-the-table activity and criminal activity.
Yeah, you're encouraging bad behavior, and I'm not, I am against all those businesses that do it even in that case because I think it's wrong no matter what. Just because it's wrong on that side doesn't make it wrong on this side, so it's wrong no matter what, no matter how you look at it. But my point is, and I think you would agree, we as a state, maybe not we because it's not you, I, and Andy or Charlie, but we as in the Democrat Party of this state have literally created another crisis on top of the crisis going on at the border in what we just talked about here in Colorado.
Yep, that's absolutely right. And we don't know who's filing all these unemployment claims, and people are just even receiving debit cards they never asked for at their house. And it could be some of these same actors. There's really no accountability to because they're passing laws and they're not enforcing different laws in the federal and state level that would actually punish some of these criminals.
All right, one last give us one last bill law that either is has become law or is going through that we need to be aware of, and then I'll let you go.
Well, there's some interesting ones. There's a bill that's up in committee, I believe, tomorrow that's actually going to allow physician assistants to operate on their own. It would actually be a good bill to, in my mind, actually help our healthcare provider system, but it sounds like that bill will probably not make it through. So it's getting just essentially it's getting dark down there. It's some of the stuff they're passing is getting very scary, and I really do worry about the current or what the outlook of our state's going to be in the future.
I agree. Patrick, we'll keep having you on. Keep the good work. Keep fighting for us and at least give us some sort of a voice. I know it's tough given the fact we're outnumbered, but do your best, and we appreciate all you do, sir.
You bet. Thanks, guys.
You betcha, Patrick. And I mean that. I really do appreciate what he and others like him are doing to represent us. We don't have much of a voice, but we at least get that.
He's a patriot. He's our patriot.
He's our patriot. There we go. Good way to say that, Andy. Purify Chevrolet is coming up next, folks. And I said this yesterday. I'm going to keep reminding you, with the chip shortage going on in the automotive world, it's affecting all industries, but really the automotive industry especially hard. If you're looking to buy a new or used vehicle, I would get that done now. Used, of course, they're going to be there, but the prices are going to increase. New, there's going to be a shortage of new cars. There already is. So if you're in the market for a new or used vehicle, go to Purify Chevrolet and get that handled now. Shop online, purifychevrolet.com or 303-659-8311.
The team at Purify Chevrolet will never hold you captive or try to force you to buy a new or used vehicle. In a recent Jalopnik article, a consumer protection attorney shared stories of the ridiculous high-pressure tactics used by some auto dealers. In one extreme example, a customer was reportedly prevented from leaving by having her vehicle blocked. In another, more common situation, customers had their car keys hidden from them to keep them from leaving until they agreed to purchase a vehicle. These customers had to call the police before the dealerships would let them drive away. The team at Purify Chevrolet sets themselves apart simply by treating their customers with respect. They still follow the standard of customer service set by Rolly's father back in 1960. Ask about their zero-interest financing and vehicles delivered straight to your door. Purify Chevrolet in Fort Lupton, only a 20 to 30-minute drive from anywhere in Denver. Find them now at klzradio.com/Chevy. Find new roads.
Golden Eagle Financial, and folks, yes, make sure that you're financially secure as you head down the road and get to retirement. For some of you that are young that never thought about it, talk to Al and find out how to get started. For those of you that maybe are a little bit too late, it's never too late to start. Talk to Al as well. Find him at klzradio.com or 303-744-1128.
You don't need to worry about outliving your money or how to fund extended care. Your retirement plan with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial provides contingencies for big unexpected expenses or sudden losses in the stock market so you can rest easy. Founder of Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith, has spent more than 30 years listening to people's biggest worries about retirement, and he's ready to set your mind at ease. Al has always been a careful listener, and after decades of hearing people fret about whether or not their money would last, he decided to specialize in retirement planning so he could protect people from huge healthcare costs and market volatility. 16 years later, Al knows how to direct your assets to the right places, preserving your wealth for the rest of your life. Tell him your concerns, and he'll create a plan that will help you sleep well at night. Schedule a free consultation with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial now at klzradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundation Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
All right, Barber's Foods, folks. And, hey, beef, it's what's for dinner. Well, they've also got bison, pork, poultry, all the good stuff. And literally, their meat, Andy, you can attest this as well as I, it's the best you'll find.
It's delish.
I'm not exaggerating at all when I say that it literally is the best meat in general. I don't care what animal it is, you'll find, period.
You know, even the chicken, and I didn't expect the chicken
to
be that much
better. It's the best. It is. Yeah. It's actually, to me, it's the most different as far as all the meats go from anything else you buy store-bought.
Yeah.
It's got the most flavor you'll ever have eating a chicken ever.
I was surprised.
It's great. Folks, again, Barber's Foods with two S's. Anything you need, shop online. They'll deliver right to your door, barbersfoods.com.
Barber's Foods has been selling only the highest quality organic, antibiotic-free, and natural food products in Colorado for over 70 years. Their mission is to provide only the best food found in the marketplace from family farms they know personally. Right now, click on March Madness Specials at the top of barbersfoods.com to find these specials and more. Barber's Farms, ground beef, made in Colorado, from Colorado raised beef in 1-pound packages, only $2.99 a pound. Thunder's Catch Alaskan Salmon, whole fillets on sale in March for only $12.49 a pound. And pre-order your Beeler's Duroc non-GMO spiral ham before Easter. Don't spend $100 or more for a spiral ham from a retail outlet. Buy wholesale and get a better ham at a better price from a family farm that Barber's Foods knows personally. Place your order today at barbersfoods.com.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy, and Charlie, and we'll come back here in just a few minutes here after the news and talk in the 5 o'clock hour, you know, more about what happened up in Boulder. There's more news that continues to come out. No, we don't have all of the answers. And by the way, neither does anybody on social media. And by the way, neither does anybody at any of the news outlets.
You know, the only thing that gets me, John, because we can go into what this guy was actually like. I don't want to here today. But I will say this. The left put out a lot of their theories. Those theories have come crashing down. And my question is, where are the apologies?
Oh,
you never get one. Yeah,
you're never going to get one, Andy.
If we did that, we'd have to be falling over ourselves.
I agree. All right, we'll come back and talk about that. We got several other things as well. Lines will be open, by the way, if you want to call in and just chat about what happened. And again, all I will say is, you know, if you're going to say something, you know, just make sure you can back it up. You know, you can say there's a speculation. I just want to make sure that we are careful, like Patrick said a few minutes ago, in regards to those victims and what happened there last night. But we're going to talk about it as soon as we come back. Hour three is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.